When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of All By the Popcorn. I'm Emily.
I'm Alessandra.
And today, we're talking about the Young Indiana Jones Episode 11, Oganga, the Giver and Taker of Life. Very dramatic. Very dramatic.
For such a slow episode.
Slow and dramatic episode. It was very heavy.
It was a very heavy episode.
It was so heavy. Jeez, my gosh.
Yeah.
So I guess nothing left to do but just jump on in.
Definitely at first I was like, okay, this is interesting. Seems like we're in Africa still.
Yeah, still in Africa. A very opposite episode to what we just watched. Like a complete 360, which happens a lot, I feel.
Oh, yeah.
In this show where we'll have these episodes just completely contradict each other. Jenny, if you guys hear cat meowing, it's because I'm at the cat's house.
I also have, there's people over at my house, so it might be a little loud over here as well, but.
Jenny, I just fed you, so no meowing at me. Okay. So yes, they're still in Africa, and did they never meet up with the Belgian army? I mean, it seems like they met up with the French army again.
Yeah, they definitely did, because that's what they're a part of.
Yeah. So I guess the French army, like, technically, they did get back to the Belgian army? I'm not sure, but...
Yeah, it's all just part of the Allies.
Yeah.
So.
This episode started very differently, I feel, in relation to other episodes. It started with just a bunch of black and white stills of just the battlefield and the soldiers.
Yeah, and all of the African soldiers.
Yeah, and then it just paused on one of the main soldiers that actually has
speaking lines and stuff.
Yeah, quite a big part in the first half of this episode, and then it just starts moving from there and then shifts into color. It was very interesting.
And also very serious. Like, the music was really serious, too.
Oh, most definitely. A very, I said very epic music, like a biopic or like a documentary. It was very dramatic.
Most definitely. And at first, it seemed like Indy was, like, the only white guy amongst, like, all these really dark-skinned African men. So they clearly are all actually from Africa in, like, this deep part of Africa.
Yeah, I thought for a second that Indy and Remy just didn't end up back with the Belgian army and that he just decided to join yet another army.
Mm-hmm. But it seems they're still in line with the Allies, still in line with the Belgian army. They're just stationed there.
Well, yeah, and it definitely seemed like there were African soldiers on both sides, both on the German side and on the Allied side, which I thought was, because wouldn't, I don't know, to me, unless the German soldiers, like, kind of made them join their army, wouldn't they not want to join?
You know, I feel it's a two-sided situation where the Germans say, oh, after this, you'll be liberated, or it's just kind of like the same situation, like, Africa didn't need to get involved, but clearly it is involved. Which is kind of news to me. I didn't realize, but yeah, there's two sides of Africa, and I'm sure that you know, ensued unrest in the future for Africa as well. Like, they're still not getting along, like a lot of the countries, you know, so it probably was a start of a lot of that.
True. That's true.
So, yeah, you know, that's how it starts. It's really serious. We've got some trench warfare going on in the savannah, it seems.
and I know this is very premature, but my number three note, I have my notes numbered. So number three, so very early on, I'm already asking myself, or, you know, asking the universe, who or what is Oganga? Is Oganga a person, a place, a weapon? These are like the things that I was already thinking about, which we don't find out till way later in the episode.
Mm-hmm, definitely.
But, well, no, because the African soldiers call Indy something else. Or do they call him something along those lines? No, they don't. They call him something else. They call him, like, the guy who can't die or something, like the soldier who doesn't die.
Right, that's what they called Indy. Yeah.
Yeah, but I just can't remember the term they used for it.
I don't remember either.
But anyway, we'll get to that.
Yeah, there's this crazy scene. Basically, you know, we can't play any clips from it because it's all just warfare and yelling. But
yeah, lots of yelling and really funny just people getting shot noises. Like, there were some... Mm-hmm. I do have a time code for one of the noises that I thought was pretty hilarious, where just someone just like, so enthusiastically went like...
Ugh! Okay, well, if you want to put it at that time, let me know what it is. And
yeah, I'll start. You can continue. I'll try and find it. I gotta find it.
Yeah, so what happens in this scene is there's Africans against Africans, I guess, and it's like Germans versus allies. And Indy, everybody goes up to a certain point and they decide to fall back because the enemy has a machine gun that is gunning all these people down. I mean, it's just so much death. And Indy notices... their superior officer says they have to fall back because they're getting shot so much. Indy says, notices that the machine gun is jammed. So he's like, no, yes, we got to keep running because their machine gun is jammed, so we have to take this opportunity. And he goes against the orders of his superior officer and runs and tells everybody to keep running. And so everybody kind of follows him and keeps going forward. And eventually they overtake the other side, the enemy. So without,
yeah.
And at one point, before he's noticing the, machine gun, he notices it and then he gets shot, like, immediately.
I immediately went like,
I know, I was like, oh my God, he got shot. Oh, is he okay? He's okay. Like, I was so scared. I just was like, oh my God, something I did not want to see because I love Indy so much. So I was just like, oh my God, no. But you find out later that it's because this bullet shot his locket that he wears.
Yeah, which I have a question about whose picture
is
in
Emily?
The wallet?
She said it was Emily. I was like, who's in the locket? Because it's not, what's her name?
He said the name?
Yeah, at one point, I think he says Emily. I think it'd be when he's writing to Lawrence or something.
No. That the Emily was the name of the soldier's wife that he was writing to. Because,
you're right.
In the boat, understand. The soldiers asked Indy who he was writing to, and he, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know who's in that locket.
He doesn't say who's in it. It kind of looks like the Princess of Vienna. It kind of looked like her, because it was not Vicky.
I know, it wasn't Vicky, which is weird. So maybe
also, didn't the Princess of Vienna give Indy, like, a locket or something?
I mean, it did look like a little kid. Let me see if I can find where he opens the locket.
She looked young. She looked younger.
I don't know. That's...
She looked pretty young.
That's really weird.
I know, because honestly, once Indy met Vicky, like, why would he still have... But I'm pretty sure the Princess of Vienna, when Indy was, you know, saying goodbye to her for the last time, I think she gave him a locket with her face in it.
What...
I'm pretty sure, man.
Oh, okay.
Listeners, please confirm or deny this. I don't know. I really think it is, though. I think it is.
Did you find that? Okay, I'm going to just go to that spot, and I'll see if I can see this face of this person a little bit clearer, but did you find that clip that you were looking for?
Yes. So there's just... So this is right after they overtake, and they're, like, running across their wall that they've created, like, you know, their barricade or something, and then someone gets shot and rolls down a hill, and it's a pretty funny noise. Here we go. He honestly goes like, wah, like that as he's falling.
Oh, and, that's good.
I thought it was great. I thought it was memorable, and it was pretty amazing.
So I'm at exactly 1436, and there's a very clear shot of the the inside of this locket. And, you know,
okay,
it's definitely not Vicky.
It's not Vicky. So no, it's gotta be the princess.
You know, it does look like a really young person, but it also could be somebody who's, like, in their teens, possibly. I don't know, man.
Doesn't Indy have a sister who died?
No. Well, yeah, but that was like a little baby. That was definitely like a little kid. Because the sister died before they left on their trip, so...
Remember? Was there also a picture on the opposite side, too, or is it just messed up from being shot?
That's just messed up from being shot.
I don't know, man. This girl looks like a princess.
You know, she does. She's got a bow in her hair. I don't know.
She's got a very, very pretty bow in her hair and a necklace.
So...
Looks pretty princessy.
The superior officer is so pissed at Indy because he disobeyed orders, and they go back to the tent with the general in it, and the superior officer's like, okay, we're gonna have to discipline you because you, even though we won, you still disobeyed my orders, and this guy's so pissed about this. He never, ever lets up. He hates Indy so much. And then the general, he hates him so much.
But then Indy gets promoted because the general promotes
Indy, though.
The general promotes Indy because the general know that Indy has a lot, of potential, and Indy just needs, I guess Indy reacts too emotionally, or, you know, he responds without really thinking about the situation. And so the colonel wants Indy to work closer with the major, who hates him, because they both have some good qualities about each other that they could really learn from each other, which, I mean, makes sense, but for the mission that they have to go on together, this doesn't seem like the best time for them to kind of, let's throw these two complete polar opposites together to see if they can pull this shit off. Which, no, this couldn't have been you know, practiced or tested. Not right now.
First of all, this is a suicide mission. I mean, the mission is to go and get these guns from like their other camp, like really far away through the jungle, and then bring them back because they need more guns. So
these machine guns were supposed to stop at their area, but they didn't. They completely went to the wrong side of the island, or like to the wrong side of the continent or something.
Yeah.
And so Indy and the major and like 30 of their soldiers have to go retrieve these machine guns and bring them back.
So
and it's like, what, a 2,000 mile like trip,
like,
or something, or 5,000 miles?
Month it's, trip. Like, it's like, it takes like a long time to get there.
It's crazy. It's completely crazy. And the guy threatens Indy pretty horribly. Oh, here, I have a time code for it. He, like, threatens Indy before they leave. And I'm like, well, this is just great, great morale for right before you're leaving.
Yeah.
And just, oh my god, what is happening? Okay. Let's see. Code 1330.
Oh my god, I literally just clicked on that. Perfect.
Did you? Do you want to play it?
No, you play it.
Okay, let me... Because I'm not quite there yet. I had it. Dang it.
Okay, I have it.
Okay, yeah, you just do it. Okay, so it's...
Congratulations, Captain.
Yeah.
He's in his tent.
Yeah.
Thank you, sir.
I'm damn near getting us all killed. What you did today was hardly cause for promotion. It was stupid. Next time you disobey my command, I'll skin you alive and feed you to the hyenas. Clear?
As a bell, sir.
You have the devil's luck. I hope it holds. We could all use some of it on this trip.
All right. So, this guy's kind of intimidating.
And negative thing after another negative thing, because that's how this guy thinks. He thinks the worst out of every situation and just chooses the best worst situation I could understand why this guy was good to have in the army, because he made tough
decisions, like, easily.
He did.
Yeah. you know, he wasn't afraid to make a hard choice. Is basically this guy, which is what he said to him before he went on this mission. The general guy was like, "You could learn from him. Do everything he says. He makes good decisions." So they go into the jungle with like 30 men. You know, we're seeing a bunch of, you know, just them walking through the forest. It's a lot of, you know, pretty shots of the forest. And then the first scary thing that happens is the men are crossing this really raging river on a rope upside down. And one of them falls off of the rope and falls into the river.
Falls down a waterfall.
Yeah, falls down the waterfall. I guess is dead. Like he's done for, I suppose.
Well, because I also think he immediately hit a rock.
Yeah,
like he hit a rock going down, and of course the corporal the major, I can't remember what his name was. It started with a B. It was like Bushy or something.
Yeah.
But we could just call him the major, and all he could say was, you know, leave him. There's nothing we can do now. We got to keep moving, and it's just death after death. Was very devastating.
Oh yeah. So then they come across a village, which is kind of the inciting incident in this episode.
Yeah, the village seems to be
deserted.
Empty.
Yeah,
yeah, no one's around, and they finally spot some people dead. I guess it's assumed that it's smallpox.
Mm-hmm.
And the entire village died of it.
Yep, except for one boy. One young boy that's probably around 3 years old, would you say? Two or three?
Yeah, between like two to four.
Yeah, very young.
Very, very young. Like, he speaks.
Yeah.
He speaks to the sergeant, yeah.
Yeah, he can talk
and stuff, yeah.
But he only speaks that language, and they have to translate.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, and so
able to catch people's names, because there are some very important characters in this
episode. Oh, there's Bartleby. Bartleby?
Bartleby?
I think it's Bartleby. That's what they end up naming the kid?
That's true. I think that's what his name was.
Yeah, And so, since they came across this kind of, like, moral quandary, you know, Indy's trying to fight for the kid. And I have a time code here of them talking about leaving the kid, who's this really cute kid. I mean, he is just adorable.
He's super cute.
Okay.
Hi.
He's dead already, Captain.
Wait. I'll go back a little bit. They see the kid. He's so cute. He's just
seems
wearing
a little... the survivor.
Poor thing. Hey, little fella.
Don't touch him. He's diseased.
Major, if we cannot touch the child, how can we take him with us?
We don't, Sergeant. We leave him right here.
But, sir, it's just a little boy.
And?
He can't care for himself. If we leave him here, he'll die.
He's dead already, Captain. I won't have him brought along in a sentimental gesture, just so he can spread sickness among the men.
Sir, I disagree.
You are being irrational, letting your emotion cloud your judgment. A good officer must learn that one bad decision can endanger his men and put his entire command at risk.
Yes, sir.
So Indy just kind of gives in.
We have a mission.
This first time, and like understands. But the man who's sitting next to him, which is Bartleby, I guess, he is like, he's the one to watch, because he's the one who ends up actually taking the kid with him somehow.
Yeah, because he tries to persuade Indy to not listen to the major and still take the kid. And this is a very tough episode for Indy, because he's just been promoted, so he's like almost half in charge of these men, and really supposed to be, I feel like he's supposed to be either helping the major make these decisions, these these important decisions, or he's supposed to be making decisions himself, I would think.
Yeah, but, I mean, he definitely is trying to be a good soldier, trying to follow good directions, but his morals are really coming into play here.
And I feel like it's almost, it almost, not ruined it, but it kind of almost broke up his mindset before going on the trip, where when the corporal or the colonel told Indy kind of what his plan was. Like, he told Indy specifically, like, I am promoting you because I want you to learn from Major Bushi, whatever the heck his name is. Like, I want you to learn from him.
Yeah.
And so probably, so I think at this point, Indy is probably taking all of Major, I'm just going to call him Major Bushi. I don't know what else to say.
That's fine.
Or I'll just say the Major. So he's probably taking the Major's word for truth, because of course he's the commanding officer, and Indy was told by the colonel that he really should be listening closer to the decisions that the Major makes. So he probably didn't fight back really at this point, because he's kind of told that he needs to learn from this guy.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense, and obviously this is a good choice, but it's just sad because you don't want to leave a whole poor defenseless kid by himself, but... You know,
no,
that's,
it was probably obviously fine, because he hasn't died. Because he hasn't died. I mean, I'm sure if he hasn't died as of now, he should be fine. But, you know, of course, that risk is still... Because they did have a doctor with them. But, of course, the doctor said that he had no way of really checking in the circumstances that they were in if the kid was actually diseased or not.
Yeah. So you know. So they continue walking, and a lot of people keep dying. And they have to bury their dead and stuff. And then they get to, like, one camp, and it turns out that... So it's kind of a funny scene where Remy goes and looks inside this tent, and he's got this look on his face. And at first I thought somebody died or something. He comes out of the tent, goes up to Indy, and he's like, Indy, we have to come with me, please. And he's like, really? Why? He's like, just come with me.
Yeah, because Indy had asked Remy to get the maps from someone. I didn't listen who. I thought he said from the Major, but he had said from the Sergeant. So Bartleby had it, or I don't know. He had them. So that's why Remy. So I thought Remy was actually going to talk to the Major, and the Major was dead.
Yeah, that's what I thought too. I was like hoping that guy was dead. I was like, oh man, if he's dead,
because
then it's
fine. Why would the Sergeant? I don't know. I thought if anyone were to have the maps, it would be either the Major or Indy.
Yeah.
Like, why did the Sergeant have them? But I don't know. Maybe the Sergeant was better at navigating than all the rest of them was, so...
It doesn't really matter. The point is that the kid is now there with them, and Indy's, like, so true. Pissed because he's like, now this is my responsibility. Now I have to figure out what to do because you were the one who brought this kid along with us.
Yeah. Okay, wait. Backtracking back to, did you catch what Bartleby had said to Indy when the Major first said that they had to leave the kid?
Something about...
I wanted
you wouldn't leave that, oh, yeah, yeah. Do you want to play that part?
Do I have that?
I have that. I have it. Okay, I'll play it.
You leave boy behind, Captain Indy?
I'm not in command.
This is you, Bangy child. You bangy like me. Pardon me, think you would not leave this child if this was a white child.
Oh.
Orders are orders. Gather them in.
Yeah. He also says something really great when they have the child in the tent. And I was going to play that part too.
Yeah, but just quickly. Jenny, shush.
This cat.
She keeps meowing, and I don't know why. I already fed her, so I don't know why she's meowing at me.
She wants
your
attention.
She's been very needy lately. She's been very needy. So, I don't know. Thinking about this, I mean, yeah, it was definitely a very good point to make that maybe if it was a white child, that maybe the Major would have taken the kid with them, but I don't know. The Sergeant seemed pretty set in stone that if any kid was diseased, the kids stay in there to die.
Yeah.
Like, and Indy's an all-around good guy. I'm pretty sure Indy would have tried to save any kid that was still there, because he did try to persuade the Major to take the kid.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I mean, it was an interesting point to make, but I feel like in terms of character, it really wouldn't have, a black or a white kid, I don't think it mattered.
Well,
with,
you know, but that's kind of a point of it. It's like, it's not Indy's that's making this choice. Like, he's trying to put it on Indy, but it's, I mean, he's made more talking about the major. He's like, if it was a white kid, you wouldn't have left him. And it's like, you know, I'm thinking that that's probably true. Like, I think that they just don't think as highly of the African people. And the Bartleby says so in this other scene as well, that I'm going to play, where they're inside the tent with the kid. And he's talking mm-hmm. about how the kid should grow up and stuff. So let me play this part.
Good policy. It usually works. Mm.
What of the child?
He can't come with us. I'm sorry. The major was very specific.
Major Boucher is very bad. Very evil.
He's trying to do what's best for all the men, including you.
Killing the boy is best for Bartleby? Make me a better soldier?
That's not what I meant.
Major Boucher only cares what's best for Major Boucher. Only cares for what's best for his people.
He cares about your people, too. That's why he's here. That's why we're all here. To get the Germans out of Africa so your people can have a future.
Captain Indy, you're a very good man. A kind man, but not a very smart man. Belgians are not here for my people's future. Belgians are here for white people's future. When this war is over, will the Belgians go home, leave Africa to my people? No! The Belgians want to own African soil. Same as the Germans. No difference.
How can you say that? You're a sergeant in the Belgian army.
Belgian white man came and took me from my village and made of me a white man soldier. Took all young men to be white man soldier. My family is hungry. I'm not there to feed them. I'm here, fighting your war. Maybe going to die.
Yeah, so this guy's making some great points. I'm really glad they had him explain a lot about that side of the war.
Yeah, this point definitely made sense because, you know, and this makes sense that Indy would kind of be naive to this, thinking that, you know, the war is there for one reason when it's actually there for, you know, it's hidden agenda.
Yeah.
Like, they
just want to dominate, really.
Yeah, definitely. So, I mean, yeah, by this point, yes, his response earlier about the child did make sense in terms of the overall war and kind of what the Europeans think of the Africans.
Yeah, so we've got that. And then, so...
And also even just some later comments that, like, Indy even says later on, like, that I thought were very, almost, like, shocking. Like, the way he said stuff, it was very, like, I have a time code for the one later.
I do, too. But... So there's, like, so Indy starts writing a letter to Lawrence...
Lawrence of Arabia.
Yeah. So he's kind of just keeps updating this. So it's kind of like we've got this Indy voiceover just saying how hard it is and what's going on. And then the next day they have to leave the kid. And it kind of is this turning point where every single person in this army is like mostly African. I mean, there's like Remy, Indy, the major, and the doctor are the only white people, like the only Belgians. And so, yeah,
and
all
which
of...
the major is not looking good at this time. Like when he,
mm-hmm.
when
he's
Indy,
sick.
Or yeah, when Indy found out that Bartleby did take the kid, the major was looking very sweaty in his sweaty yet cold in his tent. So he's going down. He's going down the path right now.
So the next day they are like, okay, well, we got to leave the kid here, and everybody basically mutinies and says no. Like, we're taking the kid with us. And Indy gets real angry and actually points the gun at the head of the major. Did you have that time code? Is that what you're talking about? Because he's, like, yelling at him.
Oh, no. This was way later in the episode.
Oh, okay.
Not right now. But, yeah, this... I think I just have time code written here. I'm not sure what time code this is for.
What time is it at?
Try and find it. It's at 27.
Oh, okay.
That might be 27:10. Okay, let's see what that's at. Oh, this doesn't look like where the major's gonna kill everyone.
Well, I have it on the time where Indy, so everybody's like turned against the major at this point, and then Indy gives a pretty good speech here. And he's like,
yeah.
I mean, I'm like giving it SPF like, he just gets so much better as this episode goes on. Like, he has given it some really good stuff here. Let me just play it.
Starting with you!
You're being irrational. Emotions are clouding your judgment. You're endangering the men and putting our mission at risk.
This is mutiny, Captain.
I disagree. Now drop your weapon. It's not a request.
I'll have you before a firing squad. All of you.
Yes, sir. Should we move out?
I mean, he just is so...
He starts going crazy.
He's so authoritative in this episode. Like, he is, like, drunk on his power right now. He kind of, uses it.
And he's, like, delirious from being sick. So he's just... He's all types of messed up right now.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, he stays that way throughout the episode, too. He makes, like, all these really rash decisions based on, like, you know, what he thinks he should do, but he's putting everybody in danger and a lot of people die. I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah, where at one point, like, just how harsh he is just makes it seem like I don't believe in the decisions he makes. Like, it's just... Mm-hmm. But, I mean, that could truly just be his character. Because if you think about it, yes, if you come across a village where everyone's dead, you probably shouldn't take the last person alive. Because that could make everyone else die. Like, I mean, thinking back on the stuff that he did makes sense. Like, also the doctor part where, yeah, but we'll get to that part. But, okay, so what happens right after this?
A bunch of them die because it starts raining. And they all get, like, sick, and they have to bury a bunch of people. And it's just, like
and they have to leave quite a few people behind, right? At one point, they had to just keep going.
They had to leave a bunch of sick people.
Six people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like, six or seven people were just sitting in the grass, like, with blankets. And they were going to head back to a village that they had passed, like, a few days ago, maybe, possibly a month ago. I have no idea.
Yeah, it's definitely bad. It's kind of miserable, and they're like getting to know this little kid. Like, they get really close to him and they start like celebrating Christmas together, and like the little kid like puts a little ornament on a tree and everybody's excited. And they finally get to a river with a boat.
Yeah, they get to a village that has some Europeans there.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, they get to a village where someone has a steamboat, and there are a few... I think there's one European guy that's there. I'm not sure why he's there. But did he... Was that the boat that had the guns on them, or did Indy use the steamboat to get the guns at a different point? Because at one point...
They get the guns when they get to the last place. So there's no guns on this boat. It's at the actual, like, Belgian camp. That's where the guns are.
Right. Okay. Because they did all the trekking, and then they had to get on a boat. The colonel had said that they had to walk for a long time and then cross a river or something, or go up a river or something.
Yeah. So they're going up a river at this point. I mean, they got like a handful of men. The major is really looking bad. He's looking really sick. The doctor is also looking really sick. We got a bunch of guys just kind of fading away. Indy's writing a letter to Lawrence, and the guy next to him who looks really sick is like writing a letter to his wife saying like, Indy, will you send this if I don't make it? It's like, and it's the sun is like clearly like laying on everybody just so harshly, and then they get kind of like in a row with some Germans, and everybody has to duck. And Bartleby gets
shot. That's right.
Shot.
They're in the water, mm-hmm. and the Germans are on the land to the sides of the river.
Yeah.
Get, like, shooting at them.
So Bartleby gets shot, and the little kid, and he tells the little kid to go steer the boat. And then the little kid steers the boat.
Yeah, because the boat was heading towards one of the sides of the river, getting closer to some of the guys with the guns.
Mm-hmm.
And so he had to steer them away to safety.
Yeah, so this little tiny kid is just, like, holding on to the rudder, steering the boat, and then he saves everybody's life. And the major's like, wow, that kid just saved our lives.
Yeah. Yeah, and so was the steamboat guy, because the guy who owns the steamboat's also going with them.
Yeah.
Just a lot of time is passing. This went by so much time.
I mean, that's like, why hard, I said it was such a slow episode, because, you know, they're just trudging along trying to get somewhere, you know, and they're just getting dying one by one and looking worse and worse by the days, and like...
Yeah, it was crazy how the episode was very interestingly laid out, because, yeah, it was slow, but then the parts where it wasn't slow, they were very dramatic and very intense and very exciting. So it was very... It was weird. It was very, very interesting.
Yeah. So and then they pass by a German camp along the river, and Indy's like...
What looks like a German camp.
Yeah, it kind of looks like, and they can sort of tell. And Indy's like, we have to go there because all of us are dying and we need medical help.
Yeah, and... like, Major, you're dying, and more, and we only have, like, a few people left.
Mm-hmm.
And then Major says no, because it's a German camp, that sure, yeah, they would get medical treatment, but then they would immediately start getting tortured to give them information about the Belgian army and the Allied side.
And Indy's like, let's go, turn around, let's just go straight there. And even Bottlemy's like, that's not a good idea, Indy. Like, everybody knows that's not a good idea. We'd rather die than get captured by the Germans. So... they just keep going.
They keep on going and keep on going.
Keep on going.
Keep on going. Then they finally
get to where they're going. which is a Belgian base. And they get their medical attention.
Right
before they get there, the major dies.
The major dies.
Yeah. So but his last
and
words.
I have his last amazing words. Oh my god, this guy.
This guy is such an asshole.
He's such a Mr. Positive. It's so... Because, yeah, like, people are being pulled off the boat to be taken to the hospital, and the major's just like, I'm just going to die right here, right now. Like, the second they get there. Okay, I need to get a little over in the time. Okay, I think I found it. Okay. Let me listen.
Charges. Must bring charges.
Relax, Major. We made it. Once you're well, you can bring all the charges against me alive.
No. Wire the boat with explosives. Can't let the guns fall into German hands. You're in command now. It's up to you to get those guns through.
I won't let you down, sir.
Of course you will.
Jesus, you're such an asshole.
Undisciplined. Not fit to command men.
Oh my god, this guy.
This guy is just like... I was like, those are his last words? Are you serious? Throwing shade are his last words? Oh my gosh.
And I mean, and this is a really shitty thing of him to do now too, because even Indy makes some desperate decisions later on, purely because he's probably trying to make a point to this guy, even after he's dead.
I know, it's really bad. It's really bad.
And it was so hard to take what the major would say seriously, because he was such an asshole. Like, when he would say, you're being irrational, you're being emotional, I would, like, yell at the screen being like, no, you're just being a good human, unlike you. Like, it's just, God, it's just too much sometimes. He was, is he real? Is he a historical figure? I'd like
no,
to know.
No, but the other guy is. The doctor guy is. I have some information on him. Yeah.
I love the doctor guy. Okay. So now...
So they get to the camp, and they get their medical attention. Yeah. Although, first of all, they go to, like, get themselves checked out. They get the kid checked out. They have to leave the kid there. And Bartlemy is, like, laying down, and he's died, which is sad, because it was the kid's best friend.
Yeah.
And I have, like, this amazing speech that SPF gives to talk, like, telling what they want to tell the kid. Because he can't speak his language, so he's gonna tell the kid these kind words, and it's just so sweet.
Yeah, because on the boat, when Bartleby first got shot, he was telling the kid to not be scared and that he would always be with him if he died. And the kid was crying, and it was so sad.
Yeah, it was really sad. So then we have these sad words.
Yeah.
You speak Ubangi?
Yes, I do.
Tell him that his friend loved him. And he must never forget what his friend said. Don't be afraid. Grow strong and wise. Make your people proud. Will you tell him that, sister?
Oh, I'm dying. That was so sweet.
Yeah.
And, like, then they each, like, give the kid a hug, and, like, SPF is, like, crying. And it's just, like, he's given just some A-plus acting over here. I'm just so proud of this guy.
He really is. And he doesn't stop. Like, he just gets better throughout the rest of the episode. And yeah, and this kid was really cute. This kid got passed around, like, six times to get hugs from everyone.
I would have hugged that kid forever. He's so cute. Oh, my God. His face is adorable.
Need to give him a hug.
I know. I wanted to give him a hug. He's so cute. He survived so much. So now he's in the care of the nurses, which is good. So then they go and talk to this general of the Belgian army guy, and they go up to him. Did you notice he had some, like, weird eye thing? He looks like Odo.
Yeah, he had a sunken eye. I'm not sure.
Maybe he just got blasted or something, and it just kind of grew like that.
If that was makeup, or if that was just his actual eye. It's hard to tell, because you can't really look up these people on IMDb.
I think it was makeup, but because it's just such a weird shape. It just seems like they put some prosthetic over his face to make it seem like he had been, like, in some kind of explosion or something, you know.
Maybe, but then wouldn't there have been, like, a scar?
I mean, that was the scar. It's like it kind of overhangs. He really looks like Odo.
Just an overhanging eye. He really did. Odo from Deep Space Nine.
Yeah, Deep Space Nine.
And then, so they're asking the Belgian commander, you know, for more men, for, like, supplies, so they can finish their mission.
They can get the guns back where they came from.
Yeah, because Indy leaves on this mission knowing that these guns will help turn the tide of the war, basically. And so he's very motivated to bring these back, and he doesn't want to let down the now dead major. So it's just... And I feel really bad for Indy in this episode. Like, I wish he'd never been promoted so that he didn't have to go through all this.
And make all these hard choices, for sure.
Yes. Yeah. Very sad. And just so... But, you know, it was necessary. He needed to grow.
Yeah, at the expense of a lot of dead people, but okay.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah, so then he gets into a row with Remy because... Remy's
right,
like,
I think I have a time code for this.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Remy doesn't want to go back, and Indy's like, we have to go back. And Remy's like, we don't have that many men left. We're all gonna die. There's no way we're gonna make it. But
yeah, because Remy was there. He knows that they're not getting shit for the rest of this mission, and so Remy's just like, I don't want to die heading back. Like, geez.
Yeah.
So, and so I almost found it. Okay, wait.
Remy looks almost less chubby in this episode. Did you notice? He looks less portly.
Yeah, I think
the not the eating army is really getting to him.
Yeah, the not eating is slimming him down, really.
Yeah.
Okay, let's see if this is it. So Remy's just had it, because he's always had it.
He's always just had it, but he finally gives Indy what he deserves in the scene a little bit.
Yeah.
Zimu, agalima matachi eatu.
Mon Dieu, you're insane.
We down 2 dozen men. Most of us can barely stand. We'll never make it.
Our troops need those guns. Colonel Matthew put his faith in me. So did Major Boucher. I'm not going to let them down.
Then go! Throw your life away on a fool's errand? I'm staying right here.
Remy, you and I are friends. But don't forget that I'm your superior. If you refuse to go, I might be obliged to consider that an act of desertion.
I've gone through hell and mutiny at your side. And now, you're going to pull rank on me?
No. No, I won't pull rank on you. But I'm going, with or without you.
Where's me?
In that case, see that the French begin loading our boat in preparation for departure. That's an order, Lieutenant!
He pops someone in the face.
Yes, Captain Sir! Right away!
This guy comes up.
What was that? Belgian salute.
It's a Belgian salute. Oh my god, so funny.
Yeah, so they're gonna leave, and Remy is not happy about this. And I said now that I think Remy is getting, or Indy is getting hard. Like, he's turning into a more, like, less sentimental person, and it's kind of like just driving him to be, like, a lot more just, like, impulsive, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, so they go back on the boat, and it's really bad, and some of them die, and then they get, like, basically they're just out on this boat, just, like, dying on this boat. I mean, they're just completely deteriorating.
Yeah, because another guy dies, and then Indy's like, how long has this guy been dead? And then Remy's like, oh, you know, a while. And I also have some funny feeling in my legs. Like, what did he say was in his legs? Like,
he
a
has,
parasite,
like, worms or something in his legs. Yeah, and like, and then he's like, oh, and he's like, why don't you tell me? And he's like, because I didn't want to seem like a deserter. You know, like, basically, like, I don't want to go against your orders, Captain.
He said it like a very mocking tone, like, you know, I didn't want to be called a traitor.
Yeah.
Because I have worms in my legs. Like, oh my god.
God. So, jeez. Then they get boarded.
Yeah, everyone's, like, passed out, basically. And then someone is in the water and starts climbing into the boat. And he's speaking to someone in German. And then Indy, like, in a crazed haze,
for sure.
Like you know, and that crazy state where you, like, just get up from a nap and you, like, don't know what year it is.
Yeah, but,
and,
like, you're just, like, you're like sick, a, you know?
But you're sick. Yeah. But you're sick and dying.
Dying, for sure.
So it's only that, but times, like, 20.
Yeah, because he looks awful. I mean, the makeup makes him look really shitty.
Yeah, his eyes look, like, all sunken in, and he's so sweaty, and his hair is just, like, stuck to his face. He's so sweaty. Like, jeez,
yeah,
I would.
So gross.
Gosh. And so then he gets up and he's like, Germans, Germans! And he's like...
He tries to blow up the ship.
Yeah, because okay, so by this time, yeah, it has the guns in it. So mm-hmm. he's already rigged
the
boat.
Like the guy said he should do.
That's right.
And he's, like, just willing to go down with the ship with all the guns on it. That's basically...
Oh, and definitely you saying that Indy's been getting hard, like, getting very, like, not sensitive. He definitely shows that when they're first getting on the boat and he's rigged it, and the guy who owns the steamboat, mm-hmm. he's like, Sonny, if you think you're gonna blow up my ship and fireworks, you got another thing coming. And he's like, shut up and do what I say.
He's like, shut the Indy... fuck up. Like, he just completely just doesn't even, like, listen to this guy at all. He's just like, shut up. I'm the captain. Like, you're gonna listen to me.
Yeah, and it's, I was like,
that's why
Indy,
I said that.
Jeez.
Yeah, he's, like, really harsh.
Yeah.
You know, because he's just been through so much, and he's just, like, snapping at everybody. So this guy boards them. He tries to blow up the ship. The guy pops him in the face, and then they don't, like, actually board it. And then Indy wakes up, and he is in a hospital on shore.
Oh no, the guy cuts the cord.
He cuts the cord of the bomb. I mean, I'm trying to cut to the chase here. Basically, they don't end up.
That was interesting. That almost blew up.
Yeah, they did almost blow up. He cut it just in time.
Yeah.
So then they go onto the shore, and Indy wakes up, and he still looks like shit. Still looks terrible, laying in bed. And he wakes up to the doctor.
Yeah, who's like giving him medicine or something or telling him to do stuff, and he's just like
skeptical.
He's like, "Oh, am I a prisoner now?"
You're and the a German. Guy's like, "Yeah,
no, yeah."
He doesn't tell it and to so him straight either. He's just kind of like, "No."
Yeah, and Indy's just kind of very skeptical of this guy right now, and what else? It just takes some time before Indy can trust him. Like, after Indy was kind of out of his, like, hazed sickness.
After
5 days. He's, like, passed out for 5 days. He went back to the boat to try and escape, and the guy's like, "Man, if you leave now, you're not going to get better, and you're going to die. Yeah. And this whole mission's going to be for nothing." And he's like, "Well, fine. I'm going to recuperate on this boat, and you can't touch me. Go away. And if you try to get near me, if any Germans come, I'm gonna blow this up.
And then the guy's okay, first of all, because Indy's like, "Hey Fritz, don't get on this boat." And the guy's like, "Okay, first of all, my name's not Fritz, it's Albert. Second of all, don't worry about your guns. I'm not gonna take them. Like, they're not useful to me.
The guns have been here for 5 days already." And he's like, "5 days?"
Yeah, it's just so funny. He's like, "First of all, my name's not Fritz, it's Albert."
Yeah, and then he's like, "And don't blow up my dock, I kind of need it, so just don't."
And he walks away, so, and then his wife comes down and brings Indy tea. You know, and Indy's just, like, still in kind of a manic state, understandably.
Aims his gun at her, still all sweaty, like, being crazy.
Yeah.
And then I guess a few days happen, like, a few days go on after that, and then he's having dinner with them, so I guess they're...
Uh-huh, he gets used to them.
They're fine now.
He talks to Remy, basically Remy forgives him.
That's right, and Remy lost two toes!
Oh, he did?
Yes, because of his leg worms, the doctor said he had to remove two toes.
Oh no!
Yes,
I didn't make it. Yeah, does he say anything about that? Like, what's?
He said so don't expect me to dance anytime, or don't ask me to dance anytime soon.
I know, I thought he had some quip.
And then Indy made this horrible joke right after that. He's like, "Oh no, I would never ask you to dance because then I might lose some toes." And he's like, "Oh, sorry, too soon."
Oh, that's good.
I mean, he didn't say that, but you know.
Oh, that's pretty funny.
Too soon. And then right after this, there's this song that plays that the doctor is playing on the piano.
Yes.
I know it's like a Bach song, but what other movie is it from? Is it from Pride and Prejudice?
You know, it is a famous song. So...
I know, but what movie have we watched together that it is in?
Okay.
I think it's Pride and Prejudice.
Well, let me hear it, because
I'll find it.
I don't think that they had any music that wasn't written by Dario Marinelli in Pride and Prejudice.
That's what I thought.
So I'm looking
at the soundtrack. And I don't know.
But it's by Bach?
I don't know.
Because he was talking about it when he was playing the piano.
Yeah. Okay, let's see. This song is in like another period piece or something. I don't know. And it's killing me, really.
God knows how many toes I'd lose.
Oh, there's his toe joke. Oh, too soon?
The toe joke.
I'm sorry, Remy.
Sorry, Remy. That was...
I was wrong.
Oh, and then he apologized.
C'est la vie.
And Remy and his spray-painted hair.
He's a good fellow, that tradesman. We owe him our lives, I think.
He's saying the doctor's a good guy. The doctor's a good guy. We should trust him, and he's awesome. We owe him a debt. This part. Well, and then the doctor plays it again later on the piano, but
you know what? It just kind of is it's reminiscent of the part in Pride and Prejudice where
it's the Netherfield ball.
Yes. It's reminiscent
that's what
of
it reminds
that
me of.
Cuz it's got the sweeping, like, and I think it's like the same tone or something.
Like the da 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 da. Like it sounds just like it.
You know, like, it kind of goes along, and I think that's what they wanted for that film, to like try to embody that same style. I'm sure that was like definitely a touch point for like the composer of that film, because it does sound a lot like that music. So I think it just it's just part of the same style, obviously.
Yeah. Let me try and find the here's the piano. Here's the piano. Here's the piano. Okay.
Okay, Emily.
It sounds like it.
It's beautiful, but yeah, it's definitely like reminiscent of it. But it's, and that's for a good reason. That's because they made it to mimic that kind of music for sure.
Yeah. So segueing into the dinner, so Indy's asking them why they ended up. Because again, here's some more of his comments about like just very, very harsh comments. Like not like comments, but you know whatever. Just what he says. He's asking the doctor why he's in Africa and why he basically asked why he's like wasting his talents out here.
Yeah, definitely.
And I'm just like,
he's like, what's the point in saving these people? Basically, is what he's saying.
Other people need doctors too.
Yeah.
Like, oh my gosh.
Like, everybody needs doctors, so.
Everyone needs doctors.
Yeah.
Jeez. And so these people are like, are super appreciative of this guy being here. Like, everyone in this area, like, loves the doctor.
Which is why his name is Oganga, which is the giver and taker of life.
The giver and taker of life, yes. And I was like, and when he told Indy that, I was like, when does he take lives? Like, what's the taking life come from?
And then I have it for that. Yeah, okay. Well, we haven't gotten there yet. That's later.
Oh, we haven't? Oh.
Well.
It's pretty close in my notes.
No, because he goes on the boat with him to get to that village first, and there's kind of, he says a speech on the boat.
That's right. So after
dinner.
Basically the next day after dinner.
They go on a boat together to go visit another village.
Yeah, some residents of another tribe are canoeing to their dock from upriver, and they ask the doctor to come help save the chief's son, who is dying.
Mm-hmm.
And so Indy lets the doctor borrow the steamboat so they can get upriver faster, because they would never make it in time if they had taken just, like, a canoe.
Yeah, and then I like what the doctor says, or I like what Albert Schweitzer says here. That's his name. Okay, here we go. They're on the boat together.
It's not the same thing. But something you've been taught to believe. Society doesn't want thinking men who arrive at their own convictions. It wants servants who do as they are told. People prefer society to do their thinking for them. It's easier. It takes away the need to make moral choices. It leaves nothing but the simple obligation to obey. Just imagine this world if no person could rely on a country to justify his actions. Just imagine if every man had to give a personal account for all he did.
The hope for a human future lies not in nations, or governments, or religions. Not even in the stars themselves. It lies only in the human heart.
Well, that was nice. Indy's getting schooled by this guy.
He's getting schooled by a lot of people, because, you know, again, he's constantly learning. He definitely did not do all of his learning when he was younger. There's definitely so much more that he has to learn from. And I think the fact that they chose to do that through these war episodes, it's very impactful, and it makes the learning very real and very like relatable.
Mm. Yeah.
So it was a really nice choice. I mean, even though sometimes the episodes can be a little boring, there's still a lot to teach with when it comes to war and just, you know, bad things that happen between other nations and stuff.
Yeah, he also gives a really great speech after he heals, but you're gonna get to the healing part where he's explaining about Oganga.
Yes. Okay, here we go.
What's Oganga mean?
Medicine man.
healer. Actually, the closest translation would be giver and taker of life.
Giver and taker?
Now, these tribes have no understanding of anesthesia, so when I put the patient under, they think I've taken his life away. And when he comes out of it after surgery, they think I've restored life to him.
Yep. So Oganga means the giver and taker of life.
Mm-hmm.
And the anesthesia means that he's killed someone.
Yeah, and then they sit around the fire and they talk to the chief and his son.
Yes, I have a time code for this too. Because yeah. Again, Indy's getting fucking schooled, man.
Yeah, yeah. This is a cool...
Fucking think before you say those ignorant comments.
Well, he has no idea.
Well, I mean... He's slowly learning. He's only been told how many times? Many times.
This is a really cool aspect of this episode, though, when they're talking to the chief.
Oh, yeah. I definitely like the second half a lot more than the first half. Let's see. Just because I really like this doctor guy. And, what is it? 1-12-50. Okay, Emily, can you remember when you switch back to pages? How about you do that? 1250. Here we go. So the chief is asking a question and the translator is going to tell him what he said.
He says, such a costly war. Why don't your chiefs meet for a palaver? How can your tribes afford to pay for so many dead men?
What does he mean, pay?
Here, when two tribes go to war, it is a rule that each side pays the other compensation for the men that are killed.
Compensation?
Chickens, goats, pigs.
They place a currency value on human life? That's barbaric.
At least they place some value on it, which is more than I can say for my fellow Europeans. If you wish to compare barbarity.
Yeah, and the face that this guy makes back at Indy is just like, bitch!
Yeah.
Like the second he says it's barbaric, the guy's face is just like, bitch. Like, yeah. Oh god. Because again, I mean, and that also makes sense with if tribes are making a deal that, you know, whoever they kill, like the other tribe get compensated, like that would also kind of make it so that not many people die during the war. I mm-hmm. mean, honestly,
yeah.
In all the other European and, you know, U.S. wars that happened, and even some still happening today, people are just being killed without a second thought and no one's getting compensated. Like, who's...
Yeah.
What family is getting compensated for their family member's death? No yeah. one. No
well,
one.
Well, it makes sense in this, you know, region because, I mean, if you look at a little tribe, a little village, I mean, how many people really are in that village? It's not like it's that many people. So when some people die, it's a big impact, you know? It really makes a difference on their well-being as a community. And if you only have, like, so many people in a community and there's only so many communities, it's like... Okay, you understand that we all live off the land, and so that's kind of it's just a more impactful thing, and I feel like he is explaining that that's just so many people and so many, like, people of the Western world. Like, there's just so many more people, so we just don't see it the same way as these people do, where a human life is worth more than a human life in the Western world.
Yeah, because again, to touch on how you said that these tribes are a lot smaller than, you know, European nations taking more than half of their people to war. Mm-hmm. Right before the chief asks about, you know, or the whole topic of compensation for dead soldiers, the chief asked the doctor how many people have died so far in this war.
More than three.
And then he finally said 10.
Yeah.
Because honestly, like 10 could be half a tribe to the chief. And that's just like, that's like half my people dead right there that I need to be compensated for. And so the doctor was just nice enough to say, you know, yeah, 10. Because, you know, but then he's like, how could I tell this guy that
40,000
thousands
men,
thousands of people have died in this war already. And he mm-hmm. can't even fathom that 10, that more than 10 people can die.
Yeah. Definitely. It was an interesting perspective. Yeah.
Super interesting perspective, and it was a very great part of this episode, I think.
So then they're on the boat, and the guy has another wonderful thing to say about life.
I don't think I had that part.
I have this one.
Do you have that one? Yeah.
But what does it mean?
You value your life? You want to continue to live?
Of course. That's the most fundamental trait of awareness one you share in common with all living creatures. The desire for further life. The thinking man looks into his heart and he recognizes this truth. I'm life which wills to live. In the midst of life which wills to live. Look around you, soldier. Life is everywhere. It creeps. It flies. It writes symphonies. It builds cathedrals. But most of all, it wills to live and go on living. The thinking man gives every life the same reverence that he gives his own.
Okay. Yeah, so that was just kind of a nice, like, try to treat every single human as a life. And, you know, I think that, like, Indy does do that in the beginning of the episode with the little kid, and then he kind of forgets about it towards the end because he's just so much... I mean, of course he does care about other people, but I think it is, like, impacting him a little bit more now.
Yeah.
And he just, like, and then he goes to kind of, like, an existential crisis. Like, he's like, what? I don't even know how to think now. I feel like I'm empty, you know?
Yeah, and then even Indy's response to that when he was like, well, what if I'm getting attacked by a leopard? Like, my life depends on the life of this leopard or something. And and then the guy just continues to say, you know, it just depends on how you think. I mean, it's between reverence and what was the other thing he said?
It's all just relative, and it's also like you have to make that choice for yourself. It's not necessarily like this is bad and this is wrong, but like what he was saying, that like he also says, like, taking life is evil and giving life is good. Like that is the kind of the idea behind this guy. So, you know, he's kind of like a vegan in a way. Vegetarian.
Mm-hmm.
You know, thinking about like other forms of life and everything about life, and it just wants to live. So, you know, who are you to take that away, I guess.
Yeah. So there's lots of very deep stuff to think about, and it's interesting that this experience would happen right after all the crazy shit that happened in the first episode. I think all in all, the episode together, which I did not have a transition, it was all one cohesive episode.
It was, yeah.
It's a very interesting turn of events to happen to Indy at this very moment, because at one point he's thinking, like at the very end, he says, you know, I thought I was a good person,
mm-hmm.
and then now I'm not too sure, like, which, you know, he's constantly thinking of the both sides to every situation that he's in, even if it happens to come later. Like, you know, he went into this war thinking very highly of what he was doing, but then along the way he's been learning that maybe he didn't make the right decision, and maybe he really doesn't know why he's in the Belgian army right now. Like, it's a lot of character development for Indy, and I feel like a lot of it's just in this episode as of right now, just because of the two very polar opposite experiences that happened to him.
Yeah, it's definitely cool. So then right now, Albert gets captured by the Belgians, the French.
Yes, because apparently the doctor was in French territory this whole time, mm-hmm. and because of the state of the war and the security of all the territories that the French own,
they're making him leave, basically.
They don't want any Germans in any French territories, so they're kicking him out.
And Indy is fighting this so hard. I mean, he goes to all the different avenues to try to fight this.
Yeah, he even tells the guy, like, hey, you want to do something good, don't make this doctor leave. Take these guns that I've been trying to get back to the frickin' Belgian army this entire frickin' episode, mm-hmm. and forget about this guy. And he's like, I've got my orders. And he's doing exactly what Indy was doing in the very beginning of the episode. He's, like, basically seeing himself
in this
French soldier. And the guy's like, you of all people should know what position I'm in. I have orders that I have to listen to or else I get my ass beat.
Yep.
And And again, he's just like, you're just a stupid little follower of orders. You don't think for yourselves and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. And he kind of goes off on him. It's really crazy.
He does. Him and Remy. I mean, yeah. Remy's like, thank God you're here, Indy. Talk to these idiots. And he's like hobbling, like, you know, trying to tell these people how stupid they're being. And it's just, it's crazy. And I have an awesome time code for how Indy reacts to the Belgian colonel.
Mm-hmm.
Or the, you know, higher up than the... No, the colonel. Yeah, the colonel. Which I thought was very... I loved this part. I loved how angry he got. Because it made me angry. Like, I was getting so angry at this. That they would treat this beautiful man like this. Okay, here we go.
Yeah.
I can't say I disagree.
But Tritus has done nothing wrong. He treats the sick.
If not for him, we'd both be dead. Something must be done. An appeal must be made.
But there is nothing to appeal. The decision is firm. He's German and he has to go. That's all there is to it.
Why won't you listen? Why won't you understand? Those people were left to die up there. We're talking about human lives. Why isn't that worth something? Why is this, all this paper, worth so much more than that? Damn it!
Oh, man.
The bureaucrats will be the death of us all.
Bureaucrats will be the death of us all. I just love how Indy...
Yeah.
I love this part specifically for Sean Patrick Flannery because he's... At first, he's just exhaustedly saying, like, why won't you guys listen to me?
Yeah.
And then he just immediately turns to just red, like seeing red anger and just being like, damn it! And like moving the papers off the desk and... It's just, it's so great. Like, he just goes from just pure exhaustion because he was just out trying to do just a fool's errand for this damn army this whole time.
Yeah, that didn't end up turning out to be anything because they didn't, the guns came too late, like, and they lost anyways.
That's right. They lost the territory that the guns were supposed to be for to retrieve, and now they're just taking, now Indy and Remy have to take the guns back to Europe to be used there. And they're like, so we got these guns for nothing?
Yeah, basically all these men died for nothing. And they're like, that's just war. Sorry.
He's like, sorry, those were orders. And he's like, what the fuck?
Yeah, he just, you know, like Indy, his entire moral disposition has been changed. Like, he had an insane, like, existential crisis in this episode. I would not be shocked if he left the army in the next episode because... It just seems like he can't be a soldier anymore. There's no way that he's just going to blindly follow orders anymore.
No, he's going to, like, second-guess what everyone asks of him. He's going to be thinking so much about every order that he's given and what they're doing, and he's going to just question... He's going to question the entire thing. And his conscience, like, can't take this anymore. This will probably have to be the next one where he leaves, like, because he's so fed up.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely hard, and it's hard once you get to that point, and he's just thinking too much. He just can't, there's no way he's going to get away with it, and it's kind of a sad ending, because this guy has to leave, they lost all these people, like, you know, it wasn't a happy ending.
Yeah, they're just getting shipped off, mm-hmm. And he did again have some nice last words with the doctor. I mean, even though the doctor really couldn't help him, because, again, after this part, when Indy's saying goodbye to Dr. Albert
Schweitzer.
Schweitzer. He's again telling him, like, you know, what do I do? How do I tell what's good or bad? How do I like myself again? And he's just like, you're gonna have to figure it out.
Yep. Well, I have some information, and that's basically the end of the episode. I have some information on Albert Schweitzer. From the Indiana Jones wiki, it says,
ooh.
Albert Schweitzer was a German doctor, theologian, and concert organist who found his mission to minister the health needs of the native inhabitants of Equatorial Africa. Giving up his career in theology and music, he and his wife, Helen Schweitzer, moved to Lambarene in French Equatorial Africa, modern-day Gambon, and started a hospital. While he was there, he developed a philosophy which he called the Reverence for Life. And then I have that he actually, it says that his death was actually in Africa in 1965. So I think he goes back to Africa later in his life. It says, after World War I, Albert Schweitzer returned to his hospital in Lumbaren and continued to minister the health needs of the Gambinese. He also traveled to Europe occasionally to lecture on his philosophy and raise funds for his mission. In 1953, he was awarded the Nobel Peace Prize for his philosophy and his lifelong humanitarian efforts. He later campaigned against nuclear weapons. He died in 1965 and is buried in Lumbaren.
Oh, that's nice. I would have been surprised if he hadn't gone back after the war effort, because, you know, even though it sucked that he had to leave during this pretty critical time, I assumed that he would definitely just go back after the war was done.
Yeah, definitely. And so that's a cool thing. Yeah, so that's the end of the episode. I guess I'll give this one 8 treasure chests out of 10 treasure chests.
I'm going to give this... I'm going to give this 8 out of 10 toes. gonna just shave, just gonna shave off the 2 that Remy lost.
It's a really great, great callback there, Emily.
Thanks. You know, I try. but definitely a really good, even though the layout was a little, it was like boring, exciting. Like, I don't know how to explain it.
It was just a weird episode, I guess. And they pulled it off, but, you know, that's just because this guy came in at the end to save the day, really.
Really, he did, and he was the best part of this whole episode, and he definitely saved it. Eight out of 10 toes, I'm gonna stick with that.
Okay, well, I'm really excited for next week, which looks like it's, like, The Aviator or something like that. No, Indiana Jones...
Attack of the Hawkmen?
Attack of the Hawkmen. Oh my god.
What the heck does that mean?
I'm so excited. Okay.
Oh wow, I'm very excited. Oh wow. Got some stuff to look forward to.
Oh yeah, okay. I think they're going to be back in Europe too. So.
Oh, definitely, yeah, because their last mission was to take the guns back to Europe. Yeah. So it's going to have to be it. Okay. Well, we hope you enjoyed that episode. If there are any historical things that we missed, please let us know.
Yes, we love that. Please tell us.
We love getting little history lessons out of each episode. You can either comment those on our Facebook, Instagram, or you could email them to us at allbythepopcorn@gmail.com or allbythepopcornpodcast@gmail.com.
Yeah, our Twitter is @buythepopcorn. And our Instagram is @allbythepopcornpodcast. Also, rate and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, because that actually helps people find us, which would be really great.
Yep. And what else do we have?
I think that's it.
Twitter.
Yeah.
Facebook. Follow us on Facebook so you can get notifications of all of our episodes. And I think that covers it. We will talk to you guys next time.
Yeah, thanks for listening. Bye.
Bye.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.